I Suck at Dating with Dean Unglert and Jared Haven, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hey, welcome to an all-new episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. I'm Jared Haven, and guess what? I am not joined by Dean Unglert this week because he forgot we were recording. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. If he's not on the golf course, he's on the beach laying with his girlfriend, forgetting that he has a job. I'm currently actually in a closet in New York City. Long story there, but you know, sometimes when you're traveling, you just need to find a nice quiet space surrounded by shoes, shirts, possibly demons, to record a podcast. So what we're going to do today is I'm going to talk about topics that we've gathered from the week, dating topics, hot topics, if you will. We have a couple emails, our favorite part of the episode. And the first topic that we have comes from Kaya Gerber. Easton, Mark, do you know who Kaya Gerber is?
Yes, Kaya Gerber is the daughter of Cindy Crawford and Randy Gerber, and she briefly, did she date Pete Davidson at one point?
It says that she was linked to the Saturday Night Live cast member earlier last year, 2019, summer around there. I'm a big Pete Davidson fan. I'm not going to lie. What was that movie he just did?
Staten Island. The King of Staten Island.
King of Staten Island. A little bit long for my taste. All the Judd Apatow films are like a half hour too long. But I really like Pete Davidson. Mark, you kind of like grinned when I said
that. No, I like him too. I'm a big fan of Saturday Night Live. And I'm just impressed with the incredible level of woman he finds himself involved with. Between Kaya Gerber, Larry David's daughter, her name is.
Cassie.
Kate Beckinsale. Ariana Grande.
Right. I mean, Grande was the biggest one. They were engaged, right, for like
yes.
6 months?
And who's the latest rumored Pete Davidson paramour?
I have no idea. But Pete Davidson does get himself some hotties. It's crazy.
He's a hero for all skinny weirdos out there. He's an absolute hero for someone like me.
Oh, yeah. Phoebe Dinovore from Bridgerton.
Good God, this man. He's obviously got a... He's probably well endowed. So Kaya Gerber, the daughter of Cindy Crawford, this was a big topic because lately we've been talking about age gaps with the Ben Affleck video, the Matthew Perry video that came out on TikTok. So Katie Gerber has been a model since she was 13 years old, and she says that she likes dating older people even as a teenager. Quote, she said, "I found myself in situations where I was like, I actually don't have the life experience that I need to handle this," she told the insider. And she goes on and she says that she wound up dating older people simply because they were the ones surrounding her in the fashion industry. Quote, "I got put in situations where one day I'd wake up and be like, how did I get here? I have no idea what I'm doing and I need help." The supermodel didn't name any past partners in her interview, but as Mark said, she was linked with Pete Davidson and she was 18 at the time back in 2019. Pete Davidson was 26. I don't think that's weird at all. I don't know why that's even like an age gap. I mean, that's only 8 years and he was 26. My dad was 27. My mom was 20 when they got married. And I've never thought of that as being weird.
That's the precise age gap of me and my wife. She was 18 and I was 26 when we met.
All right. So you're a little creepy. You get it.
That wasn't really my point.
How old were you when you guys met?
That's it. 18 and 26.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's not weird. That's not weird at all. Easton, what's the age gap between
so.
You and Allison?
6 months. She's six months
older. Who's older?
Allison is.
Oh, she's... Do you ever think you'd date an older woman?
You know, I always dreamed of it. I had sex with an older woman one time. And it was a thrill. And now that I'm married to one, it's also a thrill.
Well, hold on. When you say you had sex with an older woman, how much older are we talking about?
I was 24 and she was 37.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's pretty awesome. I'm not going to lie. Why is it a fetish of guys to be with an older woman? Like, this is a guy's podcast, so we're just going to call a spade a spade. Like, one of the most popular porn searches, I would imagine, is MILF. Why is that a thing?
I mean, it's an Oedipal thing, right?
Yeah, I think it's got to be a deep psychological thing. I don't think I have that, by the way. I think the oldest woman I've dated was maybe 2 years older than me, or three. I don't think I have that. And you can check my search history, too.
Oh, please. I definitely have a little bit of it, or had a little bit of it. When I was, so the oldest I probably ever dated, I was 17 at the time, and she was 22 or 23.
My man.
And I lied about my age. I said I was 18. Because it was, so, backstory, every year we go on this trip with my neighbors to Block Island, which is an island off the coast of Rhode Island. It's a very summer town. And they do this thing every year. And my friend had an older cousin, super hot, like the prototypical hot older cousin, always had a boyfriend. Then I went when I was 17, always thinking this girl's hot. She was 22 or 23, and she was single. And I have no idea what came over me, but I was just so cocky and confident, because in my head, I was like, there's no way this is ever happening. So I was flirting with her the entire time. I lied about my age. I couldn't believe I did that. I said I was 18. And then that night, we come back to my friend's house, and then she asked for a ride home, because I'm 17. I can drive at this point. I drive her home. I'm like shaking because I'm so freaking nervous. I don't know what the hell to do, but I'm trying to just hide it. And then we pull in, and she leans over it and kisses me, and we start making out. And I'm like, holy shit, I am the coolest guy alive. And that was my own, like my one real experience kind of being with an older woman. And it was a great experience.
She wow. showed you the ropes.
Yeah. So anyway, back to this article. So I think this is getting more play because the Ben Affleck video just came out. That was obviously a big gap. And then we had the girl that released the Matthew Perry video on TikTok. We had her on a podcast a couple weeks ago. That was a big discussion. I honestly felt bad for Matthew Perry when that whole thing came out. People were calling him creepy. It's like, listen, it was a FaceTime video. I understand he's an older guy. She was 19 at the time. But I mean, honestly, if you're in your 50s and you're able to get like 20-year-old girls, what are you're not supposed to like at least like talk to them or have fun? I don't know. I'm not advocating it. I'm also not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying it's kind of a thing.
It's consenting adults, you know? I think that's anything's fine with that, right?
Yeah. I agree. Two consenting adults I'm fine with. And then our next article that we talk about, it's kind of in the same vein. So Lisa Rinna, you guys know who this is?
Lisa Rinna, yeah.
Oh, God. Mark is correcting me on names. See, this is bad. I feel like I'm an older soul than Mark. This is bad.
Well, you should do your TikTok rant on the show because that was pretty funny.
Oh, my God. I can't stand TikTok. And I go on TikTok. That's the problem. I go on. I, like, hate watch videos because I was telling these guys earlier, like, if I hear that BB Rexha song one more time where it's like,
Dua Lipa,
you want me, I want you bad. Is that who it is?
No, BB Rexha? No, it's not
Dua Lipa.
Dua Lipa?
Dua Lipa.
Okay. All right. I knew I had a 50-50 shot and I was really confident with what I was saying. I thought if I said it with conviction, I'd be correct.
To be clear, it's Dua Lipa and DaBaby.
Oh, DaBaby.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I call Lois. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. TikTok, man. I just like, I'm on it and I just know I'm wasting my life away. And if I hear that, like, it's just the same song over and over again. Or like the trend that Nick just did with us where like this, you know, you get shot. And as you get shot, you get called out on stuff that you do. And I'm like, what's going on here? Anyway, Lisa Rinna.
Just Rinna. Yeah.
Rinna, that's fine. So the headline is, she says that daughter Amelia Hamlin's relationship with Scott Disick, who I'm a big fan of, is, quote, it is what it is. So Lisa had a laissez-faire attitude when it comes to her daughter's dating life while appearing virtually on Watch What Happens Live Wednesday. The 57-year-old Real Housewife of Beverly Hills star opened up about her daughter Amelia Hamlin's relationship with, of course, Scott Disick. When asked by host Andy Cohen what her, quote, first reaction was to learning that Hamlin, 19 years old, was dating Disick, 37 years old, the reality star initially shied away from the question, saying, yeah. As Cohen 52 dug deeper, as a good journalist does, he then asked Rinna if she had been in contact with Kris Jenner over the romance. Oh, man. I feel like Kris Jenner might be the most difficult person to get on the phone. I have not, she said, before adding, I have met him now. He was very nice, and we had a very nice time, she continued, adding that Disick also met her husband, Harry Hamlin. I don't know who that is. Great name, though. Rena then added of the relationship, it is what it is, guys. It is what it is. As for their 18-year age gap, the source said that the couple doesn't feel decades between them. She grew up in the industry and knows how all of this works, the source added about Hamlin. It's a different type of maturity, and they really don't feel the age difference. So she's 19, Disick's 37. Again, I don't find that weird.
I do. I'm sorry. Really? Maybe I'm a hypocrite because I was 26 and my wife was 18. But I also have a question for the women, and maybe Riley and Hannah can weigh in on this. I feel like when a guy dates a string of teenagers, like Scott Disick has with Sophia Richie prior to this, I feel like it's a sign of poor character. I feel like that's how it's perceived, whether that's the case or not. Any thoughts on that?
Riley, I want to hear your perspective.
I think it's a little weird. And I think that it kind of labels that he will only go for a younger girl, and that I'm either that's kind of a turnoff, but also that I don't really apply to his type.
Well, why don't you apply? How old are you, Riley?
I'm 28.
Oh yeah, you're way too please. Old.
I'm way too old.
Yeah, that'll never
She's
work.
One of them geriatric millennials we've been hearing about lately.
I guess Disick, I forgot that he had a teenage girlfriend before this. That's right. He was dating a 19-year-old before this, right?
Well, for 3 years, so she did age out of her teen years, but that's probably, yeah. You know.
Yeah, and then he broke up with her and started dating a 19-year-old again.
It's like McConaughey. It's like Matthew McConaughey and Dazed and Confused. I keep getting older and they stay the same age. I don't think that's what you want to aspire to.
No, definitely a line that I'm not sure would be socially acceptable today. I guess I give Disick a pass just because I don't think he's like a high... I don't want to say this like a dick because I actually really like Scott Disick, but it's not like... I'm not striving to be like Scott Disick, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, he's here for my entertainment purposes, and I think he does a great job.
He's got a role model.
Yeah. It's like if my son was like, hey, I just want to be exactly like Scott Disick, I'm like, okay, listen, buddy, we need to sit down and have a conversation.
I'm probably tainted by the fact that I have a 15-year-old daughter. In a couple of years, I don't want her bringing home a 40-year-old. That I would definitely have a problem with.
Yeah. That would be weird, huh? I guess it's different. Yeah, once you have a daughter... All bets are off, man.
Yeah, so, and I can't be too much of a hypocrite, you know, because of the 1826 thing, but there is a limit to what I will tolerate there.
Yeah, what happens, so when your daughter turns 18, what happens if she brings home someone who's like 32?
Maybe I'd love the guy, who knows, you know, but if it's a guy that I got a bad vibe off of, and two, dated a string of teenagers, I think I'd have to have a real conversation with my daughter about that.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I don't know, man. I don't even want to think about if I have a daughter one day and like how I'm going to feel. I'm just going to feel it's just weird. Listen, if the girl's 19, I mean, she's in the industry, she's going to date Scott Disick, whatever. I'm like tired of the age gap. Like if you're two consenting adults and you want to be in a relationship, go be in a relationship, you know, be happy. All the power to you.
I'll give you some, just for perspective. So he and that young lady are 18 years apart. Mm-hmm. That young lady and his daughter Penelope, who is only 9 years old, are 9 years apart.
Yeah, that's weird.
It's weird.
Ew, yeah, maybe he should just go back to Courtney, even though she's with what's-his-face, right?
Travis Barker.
That's right. Yeah, the dude from, what band is he from?
It's Blink 182. Thank you very much.
Blink 182. That's right. We talked about this before. Yeah, good for her. All right. Well, let's take a quick break. And then when we come back, I'm going to talk about an article that says 25 people who realized within a year that getting married was a big mistake. Well, I'm already past the year and I'm still pretty happy. So we will be right back. All All right, welcome back to Help I Suck at Dating. I have one more topic to talk to before we turn it over to Dini Babies. I think he's still in Mexico. He's going to be somewhere on the beach recording live. Who knows? Maybe Kayla will stop by. Who knows what Dean has up his sleeve? So like I said, the article from BuzzFeed said 25 people who realized within a year that getting married was a big mistake. Talks about, oh, your wedding day, the best day of your life, unless it's the worst. Marrying the worst person is a serious ordeal, and recognizing it, much less extracting yourself from the situation, is not always easy. Here are some of the most shocking replies BuzzFeed got when they were talking about people who realized within a year that they married the wrong person. Quote, a couple of weeks into our marriage, the sex started to physically hurt. I went to my OBGYN, and after a test or two, she informed me that I contracted chlamydia. That's when I knew I made a big mistake. Holy crap. How did she not get chlamydia before, unless they waited till marriage?
Oh,
right?
Man, that's so sad.
That is sad, because if you had sex, unless like he cheated on her right before, and Easton's nodding his head like, yep, Jared figured it out. So he might have cheated on her right before the wedding. He contracted chlamydia, and then they had sex, and he gave it to her.
Those bachelor parties can be dangerous.
Yeah, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, unless it's chlamydia. Another one, quote, I knew it was over when she started a fight at my brother's funeral because female attendees were giving me hugs as part of the condolences.
Ooh.
I mean, who is this guy? I started a fight at my brother's funeral.
So this is a guy writing this.
Yeah. And so the girl started losing it.
Right. His brother dies. He goes to the funeral, and females are hugging him to console him, and she starts a fight.
I mean, I can't believe he didn't know until after the wedding that this was the wrong person for him.
Like, she must have been really, really attractive.
That's the only logical conclusion. Quote, another horrific story about someone who realized within a year they married the wrong person. Quote, the next morning when I woke up, apparently, probably the next morning after their wedding, that's what I'm assuming. The next morning when I woke up and thought, when would be a socially acceptable time to get divorced?
Oof.
What the hell? Why would you say yes the day before?
You know, you get caught up in the planning and the gifts and the excitement. And then when it's over, there could be a real letdown.
You know what's funny? Everybody gives Bachelor so much crap for that. Being like, oh, when you date and like you're high on life and you're not thinking of other things and you're in the moment, and that's why like it's not real. It's not real love. But then you go back to the real world and it's like you kind of encounter not the same level of heightness, but like Mark said, like wedding planning and getting engaged and all your friends are getting engaged and then you're planning a wedding and there's excitement and like, there's similar factors there to which I say, like, it's not just reality TV. Like, you have to overcome those factors in real life as well, because everything gets heightened. Like you said, like, there's so much pressure and you don't want to be the only person in your friend group to not be married. And then,
yes,
like, kids, you don't want to be the only person in your friend group who doesn't have kids, because your life changes. Like, once your friend and family's life changes, like, you want your life to change, because nobody wants to be the one single dude out of their friends, because then you're the only one going to a bar at night. Like, that sucks.
Really quick, I want to bring up, this kind of ties back to that Matthew McConaughey quote from Dazed and Confused, but a lot of our friends are having kids, and Allison and I do not have kids, and we don't have plans to do that, and so we are not seeing those people as much, because we don't have as much in common with them, and they just want to talk about their kids, and we have nothing to say. And we started hanging out with some new friends who are younger than us, and we're kind of in the same spot in our lives. And we joked that, I love just trading out friends for younger people until they have kids, and then I'll just get new friends. And so
you're like
so
the Scott Disick of friends.
I am. I'm only hanging out with 18-year-olds because they make me feel young.
You just, once they age out, you just start replacing them. Be like, all right, well, they have kids. Who only has an Xbox? Bring them to me.
Exactly. You'll never guess who just popped into the waiting room,
God.
Everybody.
Oh, my goodness. This is exciting.
Oh, God. I don't even want to see him. I don't want to see him.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. the man of the hour. Everybody's been waiting with bated breath.
Live from a Mexican beach.
He might be knees deep in the Pacific right now.
There he is.
Ladies and gentlemen, look at that color. You look so tan.
Hey, my brother's wedding is in an hour and a half, so can we try to make this snappy? Oh,
is that right?
Yeah, it's right.
So this one's kind of not on you, because I think at one point we weren't going to do this today.
I was under the impression that Jared was co-hosting with a lovely co-host that was going to step in admirably, fill in my shoes.
That's Easton, I think.
You're looking at him right now, Dean.
Well, listen, don't get me wrong. You guys are definitely fantastic fill-ins, but I remember it was some other guy, some guy named Grant, maybe.
I think it was Brian, but he canceled. You obviously didn't get the last email because we were supposed to do it yesterday with Brian, and then he canceled, and then we're like, okay, we'll just do our regular Friday spot.
Right. I mean, yeah, I've been drunk in Mexico for the past 3 days because nice. My brother's getting married in an hour and a half. So, you know, that's kind of why I've been a little my game here.
Do you have things that you have to, like, get done before the wedding?
Yeah. I mean, I'm a best man, so I need to be able to, like, get dressed with them, put our clothes on together and, you know, cheers with champagne, make some speeches, coordinate some things. But whatever, you know, I'm here for Help I Suck at Dating first and foremost. My brother... Listen, it's not his first, or it is his first wedding, but it's not going to be his last wedding, so.
Hey, don't blow all the material from the best man speech on us.
I know. He's just practicing.
In fact, maybe I'll take a little voice recording of the best man speech, and we can go ahead and clip that into the episode today. What do you say?
That's good. I like it.
Yeah. I do apologize. I don't know how good the audio is going to be in this room. It sounds a little echoey. And if I think it sounds echoey, it's probably not going to be that great. So for those listening and for Mark and Easton, I apologize for the audio quality.
You sound great. We're talking about weddings right now. We're talking about people who immediately knew after they got married that they've made a huge mistake. I hope that's not the case for your brother and future sister-in-law. But what is your take on them as a couple? Do you approve of her?
That would be pretty brutal to get married and then immediately regret it. Well, they've been dating for like 8 years, 9 years. So they're like pretty convinced that they're each other's partners for the rest of their lives. And I'm super happy for them. I don't know. It's funny to see your oldest brother get married just because like I've always looked up to him. He's 9 years older than I am. So he's always been pretty significantly older. And so I've always kind of like modeled my life after his life in, you know, some sense, like if he does something, I'm like, cool, I can do that. Or if he does something bad, I'd be like, okay, cool, don't do that. And so it'll be interesting to see him get married. I think that he's very stoked. He has had a smile on his face the entire time we've been in Mexico. And so far, we've all had a blast. So I think that's all he ever has wanted in life is for all his friends to come down and have fun. So,
seeing your brother get married, do you think it makes you want to get married more or less?
Yeah, that's a really good question too, Jared. Wow, thanks for really just hitting dingers right out of the gates here, huh?
Well, I figured, you know, the time's ticking, baby. You got to get going. I got to hit with the hard questions right from the get-go.
Yes and no. I mean, like I said, I kind of emulate him in as many ways as I possibly can. So I think seeing him married is going to probably motivate me to have a similar belief to some degree. Kaylin and I had a conversation about marriage yesterday a little bit. I don't know if she's within earshot. I don't know how soundproof these sliding doors in our hotel room are. Sounds pretty soundproof. She's not even acknowledging me right now.
I wouldn't worry too much about it. I would just talk about it.
Yeah, I would just tell us exactly what you guys said.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I'll paraphrase for you guys. I'll give you guys a spark notes. It was basically more of the same stuff. You know, she wants to get married. I'm like, well, I don't really know. I don't know if I want to like be an example for everyone getting married. Like, I think we should be the example that like, you know, two people can live together forever without the predisposition of marriage. And you know, it's just an ever evolving conversation. But like I said, to Mark's point, my brother's now married. So maybe I'll start to come around a little bit more on it. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
My prediction is that, listen, I'm your friend. I'm not putting pressure on you, but my prediction is that you and Kaylin will get married at some point because it feels like Kaylin, in terms of like the battles within the relationship of what you want and what she wants, she wins more often than not. You guys bought the house together. You share a phone bill together. You got a dog together. You're very domesticated over the past year and a half since you two have been dating. And it feels like that's her decision. And I feel like because you love her so much, I mean, you wear a freaking wedding ring right now. The idea of you just kind of walking down the aisle and saying, I do, seems pretty plausible.
I told her that if we were to get married, the only way I realistically would be on board with the idea is to just us to sneak away to a courthouse, get it done and don't tell anyone kind of thing. Similar to kind of what everyone already thought that we did 6 months ago, but actually do it.
Would you tell us after the fact?
No, I would let you guys keep. I mean, maybe I did it and I am still just trying to play coy. It's one big
this
ruse.
Freaking guy.
My point is, I don't know. Like, Jared, your wedding is beautiful and it was fantastic. But the idea is, Kaylin's literally standing on the other side of the sliding door right now, just going like this, like freaking rubbing her hand over her neck like she's going to kill me. And now she's like biting aggressively. It's kind of scary. Anyways, before I get myself killed, I guess I won't say too much. My point is, Jared, your wedding was lovely. We obviously had a blast. But the idea of that many people coming together for me is just a little too much for me to get on board with, you know? So, if we were to do it, it would just be like a quick escape, get to the courthouse, sign the papers, not tell anyone, get back home in time for.
Yeah. Wham, bam. Thank
football.
You, ma'am.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what is the age difference between your brother and his bride? Cause we've been discussing age differences also today.
Well, you're, 9 years older than your wife, right? Mark?
I am 7.5 years older than my wife.
7.5. And Easton, you're younger, right? Or no?
Wow, Dean, I'm so impressed. Yes, I'm 6 months younger.
Nice. And Jared is younger as well.
Yes.
My brother is 39, and I think his wife is like 36. So not too bad. 35. I don't know. Who knows, really? But it's weird. Her like family is all out here. I haven't really met a lot of them. My sister missed her flight today, so we'll see if she makes it in.
Well, I'm it's good to see that it runs in the family.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it does definitely run in the family. that was unintentional. I didn't really want that to hit as hard as it did there. And then my cousin, I bought a ticket for my cousin to come out too, and she didn't get her passport in time. So that money is just basically down the drain, which also isn't very great.
Oh, no. Oh, well, how many people is he having at the wedding?
There's probably going to be like 70 to 80 people there.
I wonder after the wedding how you'll feel about having a big wedding or not. Like, as you say, you know, hey, you don't want all these people gathering for you. It's too much. You're overwhelmed. But I think you're also such like a lovable social guy, seeing all, like, you know, your family come together. I wonder if that's something you'll change your mind on and say, actually, I do want these people here when I marry Kaylin.
Well, this is nothing new. I remember when I was in middle school and MySpace came out. And remember MySpace, how there was like a top 8 friends?
Oh, yeah. So much social anxiety.
I never made a MySpace solely for the reason that I didn't want to have to rank my top 8 friends. First of all, I don't think I had 8 friends. And I think that was a big fear of mine. But then I wouldn't want to be like, you're my first best friend. You're my second best friend. You're my third best friend. Like, that terrifies me. And I don't want to do it.
Oh, well, the worst is when you created a top 8 and you had a friend in the top 8. And then you went on their top 8 and you were not in there. That was like, oh no, like, oh no, I'm pathetic.
That would be me too, I feel like. And also like, I don't know. It's just a lot to consider. And I don't think I've even entertained the idea of like trying to consider it. So you never know. But I'm talking with 3 married men right here. And it's a little intimidating, I got to say.
Do it, bro. Take the plunge.
Yeah. I'll do it just for you, Jared. I'm sure Caleb, I'm going to stand up there delivering our vows and say, this one's for you, Jared.
This one's for Suck Army. I do.
Yeah, I do. Help, I suck at dating. I do.
I mean, honestly, if you got married, that should be the final episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. That feels like the most full circle moment of all time. I wouldn't want it to end. Maybe we could rebrand because obviously we're only going to get more popular as time goes on.
Oh,
but,
as we have been.
It feels like such a great conclusion. It was like, you know, it's like a trilogy. You know, the first movie was you solo, the second movie was me and you, and now the third movie is you finally getting married.
Yeah, I guess, you know, like whenever those movie series drag on too long and you're like, okay, just stop making movies now, like we get it. Now they're just like getting really bad. That's kind of how this podcast would get after we all got married. So I kind of agree.
Unless you're Fast and Furious, because they can make 40 of those and I'll never get tired of it. All right, well, so what do we do now? Are we, we have an
we've
email
got,
to answer. Should
we've
we just
got emails. I mean, does Dean want to weigh in on the Scott Disick situation? Is it
big Scott Disick fan? Actually, it's funny. Caleb was just admiring Scott Disick's interior decorating skills. Apparently, he's like a really talented flipper of houses.
I knew he had an HGTV show. I did not know if he was good at it or not. But hey, a man of many talents.
Yeah.
I said earlier, controversial as it may be, that it is a sign of bad character that he dates only teenage girls.
Yeah.
Because this is not the first teenage girl he's dated. He dated Sophia Richie. Now he's dating another teenage girl. He's dating Amelia Hamlin. And I think that's not a great look for a dude in their late 30s.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the appeal of an old man dating a young teenage girl like that is the fact that she doesn't probably know any better. And she's probably like excited to talk to a seemingly older, more mature guy.
Especially, let's be honest.
Right, Scott Disick, his celebrity factor. He's super wealthy. He can kind of like do whatever he wants. I mean, I agree. It's a little skeezy. But at the end of the day, you can't knock true love, right? Unless you don't think it's true love.
Until she turns 22 and they break up. Then you can knock true love. Because she ages out. I agree. No, I agree with you, Mark. Listen, if Scott is just like dating 19-year-olds until they turn 22 and then breaking up with them and dating a new 19-year-old, yeah, that's skeevy as hell.
Well, isn't that like Leo too? Like, there's a graph on the internet that I've seen that it's a graph of Leo's age, which of course is a straight diagonal line, as is all of our ages. And then the other line on it is the graph of his girlfriend's ages, which is a straight line across the bottom of the graph. I think this is a thing.
Oh, Leo gets a pass. I don't know why. Why does Leo get away with
it? He kind of does.
Oh, he 100% does.
Yeah, Leo's a stud. Wait, I just realized that Amelia's mom is Terry Hatcher. Is that right or no?
Cindy Crawford.
Are Cindy Crawford and Terry Hatcher like almost the same person?
No,
or am I just dumb?
Dude, I used to love Terry Hatcher. Because obviously, being a Superman fan, when she played Lois Lane in The New Adventures of Superman, Terry Hatcher, wow, that's a throwback, and wow.
Well, she was on Desperate Housewives. Yeah, she had a nice career as an actress. Cindy Crawford is a supermodel.
I got to say, Scott Disick, I thought, was older than 37.
I agree.
37, like, listen, it's not a great look to be dating an, how old is Amelia, 19 or 20 now? It definitely isn't like a great thing to be doing, but it's not as, I thought he was like 50 or something like that. Like,
what
you
do
know?
They have in common? What do they talk about? That's what I'm curious about.
Probably a lot about like Instagram and stuff.
Yeah, like Kardashians.
TikTok.
Yeah, like she's showing him yeah. TikTok videos and he's like, oh, cool. Like I'm watching Carson reruns or something. Or, you know, what
no
do 37-year-olds do?
He does all those the things that the young people do to kind of stay young.
Oh, hell yeah. He's got to stay with the times. That's his job.
I think I've talked about this on the podcast before, but there was a study that I read about where they injected the blood of young mice into the veins of older mice, and the older mice became more youthful and energetic. And in a weird way, that's kind of what Scott Disick is doing. He's kind of like tapping into the fountain of youth by dating a younger person. And maybe it helps him feel young and stay young. And in Los Angeles, like 37 is really more like 27 for a guy, and 19 is more like 24 for a girl. So that's only a 3-year age difference.
No wonder I always feel so old. I'm dating someone 9 months older than me. That makes sense now. That's why I feel old. If I was dating someone 9 months younger.
You don't live in Los Angeles.
No. So like 32 in Rhode Island is like 45.
32 in Rhode Island is like 45, right? And 37 in LA is like 27. I'm sure like being in the limelight like Scott Disick has been, you know, you kind of like get. There's like that, not the saying or whatever, but like kind of whatever year you become famous in your life is kind of the age you get stuck in for the rest of your life. You know, like Scott Disick became famous when he was like 24 or whatever it is. So he probably perpetually feels like he's 24 in a way.
That's interesting.
I've heard about that. I could have sworn we have all talked about it together, but I guess not. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's kind of like the impression that I'm getting from him.
That's good logic. See, that's why, Dean, you got to come to the podcast, because you bring logic, knowledge, humor.
Yeah, you're just, I'll be sure to be telling my brother that when I'm rolling up late to the vows today.
Yeah, be like, bro, sorry, I had my job.
All right, I called in sick, but they didn't let me take the day off. So here
yeah. All right, let's take a quick break and answer some of your emails on the other side. All right, welcome back to Help I Suck at Dating. We, of course, have your user emails that we're going to answer. And then on Instagram, I posted last night about some things that everybody, Suck Army, is feeling a little nervous about getting back to normalcy. The whole reason I thought of that is because, like I said earlier in the podcast, I'm in New York, and I realized how much I don't want to be in New York. And the pandemic, I haven't had to travel at all, and it's been great. But now things are getting back to normal, and I'm like, oh, God, am I going to have to start coming to New York more and being surrounded by people and taking taxis? And I'm not ready for this. So I'm nervous about that. So I asked on Instagram some things that you guys are nervous about getting back to post-pandemic. We're going to answer those next week. But for right now, we do have a couple emails, our favorite part of the episode. Mark, would you be so kind?
Be a privilege. This is from Anonymous. I have been dating a guy now for almost 10 months. The problem is we've both been divorced and his marriage ended due to his spouse cheating, so he has some issues with that. I did cheat on my husband in my marriage, which I regret and have worked through in therapy. I feel like I would never repeat that behavior again going forward. It was brought up the other day for the first time. If I had ever cheated in my past, I said no, because he made me feel like if I had said yes, it was a deal breaker. I don't feel I should have to lie about this forever. It's my past. It happened. I've grown from it. Should I tell him ever, or should I always keep this to myself?
Oh, man.
Yeah, this one is a great question. Wow. I, of course, believe that people can change. I don't believe in the saying, once a cheater, always a cheater. I think people make mistakes. But I also know the reality of people, and I'm sure this guy that you're dating would have some hesitation if you admitted that you cheated in the past, because apparently he's dealt with this prior. Damn. I think you should lie to him.
100% tell him. I think there's no question to tell him.
What happens if he breaks up with her?
Then it just wasn't meant to be at the end of the day. If he's willing to walk away from the relationship because of that, I think that's a much better alternative than him finding out later on, or you having to keep a secret from him and him not really knowing the full version of you. And like, let's be honest. Yes, I agree that not a cheater once, always a cheater, whatever the saying is.
Something like that.
But those mistakes help form you to be the person that you are. And by lying about those mistakes, you are kind of like lying about the person that you are now. So I think that at the end of the day, the best thing you can do is be honest and let them make the decision for themselves instead of you like trying to curate yourself to feel like you should be better fitting what he wants. Because at the end of the day, that's not good, in my opinion.
Either he finds out now or he finds out a year from now. And if he finds out a year from now, he's going to find out that not only did you cheat and you also lied about it. So it's a right. double whammy. You got to tell him, look, I'm so sorry I lied. I panicked, but it's just been a couple of days. So I'm going to come clean to you now. I feel this way about you. That was my past. I went to therapy. You got to just lay it out on the table for him. He may need some time on it, but it's up to him if he wants to stick around. You can't start this entire relationship based on a lie because it's right. going to bother you forever.
And then he's probably going to default to the fact that if you're lying about that, what else are you lying about?
Yes. This is from David. He says, around Easter, I shot my shot in the DMs with a cute girl I really wanted to go on a date with. She said no, as she recently got out of a relationship, but was flattered that I asked her out, mentioning that it made her day. Some time has passed, and now she likes all my pictures on Instagram. I will sometimes slide up on her story just to keep in touch, but nothing's really come out of it. Would it be weird or creepy to let her know that my offer still stands, or should I completely move on?
I personally don't think it'd be creepy at all, right? I feel like we all would think that. Like, listen, I feel like by saying you want to go on a date with her, you've made your intentions clear, you like are interested in her, you have a crush on her, whatever. And then I think that's kind of like one of the oldest tricks in the book and I respect it too, is by like kind of not keeping like constant communication, but like keeping an open line of communication, you know, like laughing at a story every once in a while and like having a quick little conversation, boom, end of that. And then like a week later, another one kind of thing. I don't know. I mean, maybe she was just being nice when she was like, oh, I got out of a relationship, so I'm flattered, but I don't want to go on a date. Maybe that was like her way of being nice and kind of rejecting you. But yeah, maybe time has changed things a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. Go for it again. Why not? She said that she just got out of a relationship and she's very flattered. All right, you gave it some time. Ask her again. Now, listen, if she says no for a second time, she's like, oh, I can't, you know, she comes up with another excuse. Okay, now you know. If you reach out for a third time, I would agree. It might be a little weird, a little creepy, a little much. But you reach out for a second time. She said that she just got out of a relationship. You're doing nothing wrong. You know, she likes your pictures on Instagram. You guys go back and forth. There's a little flirtation there. Why not? Shoot your shot again. See what happens. If she says no, then you move on.
Here's what I would do. This was always my method in a situation like this, is I would, let's say, like, have an event planned with my friends, whether we're like going to a bar or going to the beach for the day or something like that. I would just casually, maybe like that's kind of like the day that you choose to respond to a story. So the line of communication has a reason to be open, and then kind of like move it over to be like, hey, by the way, my friends and I are going to the beach at 6 p.m. for like the sunset. Feel free to stop by if you want. Like, kind of keep it like no pressure, make it like she knows it's going to be like a big social setting. So there's not going to be like, you know, this awkward like one-on-one tension. And then kind of let it blossom from there. I feel like that's kind of what was always a good method, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think this is good advice, guys.
Yeah.
Oh, we're great.
You know what? I hope David can maybe try one of these things and report back and let us know how it is.
I agree with Dean, though. Always like hanging out with friends is a good way to go.
Yeah. I always feel like when someone says I'm not ready for a relationship, what they're really saying is I'm not ready for a relationship with you. Mm. Because I feel like if she was swept off her feet, it would be different. But also, I think we should take her at face value. Take her at her word. Maybe it was still kind of raw at that point. It's been 6 weeks since Easter. Do we feel like that's enough time for her to get over this? Or do we need to kind of play it cool for a little while longer?
It's enough time.
I think 6 weeks is enough time, but that's just me.
But I think you're right. Keep it casual. Maybe there's some DMing back and forth, just kind of about life, about TV shows you're watching, whatever it is, just to kind of keep it open. But yeah, I like Dean's advice. I like the casual hang.
Yeah, and then if she doesn't hang out with you, then just DM her every single day from then on until she meets you face to face. And at the end of the day, it's gonna happen eventually, right?
Yeah, whatever you say. I was gonna say something, but I'm not gonna say it anymore. Plus, the door just opened up in the closet by itself, so I'm a little nervous. There's just some sort of demon that's about to possess me in this closet. Yeah, so I think now would be a good time to wrap up this podcast.
Before you wrap it up, I've got a question. I'm sure you covered at the top of the podcast. What are you doing in the closet?
Long story. No, I'm in New York. Ashley's doing this thing, interviewing Broadway stars. I'm not going to go over it again. It's really cool. Anyway, so I needed to find a place to record this podcast. We're at her friend's house. So I'm in her friend's closet. And of course, I forgot the podcast equipment. So now I'm doing a voice memo. I just really channeled my inner Dean this week. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go full Dean. I'm going to go in the closet, no podcast equipment. Let's do this thing.
You were on time, though.
I'm proud. I'm proud to see of this incredible man you've blossomed into over the past, you know, 2 years of doing this podcast.
Stop that. You're making me blush over here. I mean, there has to be a podcast episode coming up soon where I record in the closet and you record in the van. And let's just, like, you know, piss in the wind and see what happens.
Only if we have R. Kelly's Trapped in the Closet as the lead in music for it.
Oh, God. He went there, didn't he, ladies and gentlemen? Well, I'll do it for this week's episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. Dean, have fun in Mexico. Please tell your brother we say congratulations. Have a great time, man. That's super exciting.
Yeah, thanks for letting me just join in for the second half of this podcast. I'm sorry that... So I guess the story is, just to kind of clear the air on this a little bit, is that you were supposed to host yesterday with Brian, and then I got a text from one of the producers saying, hey, we actually aren't going to do that tomorrow. We're going to just record as usual tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And I was like pretty drunk, and I was like, yeah, I could totally make it happen. And in the back of my head, I never said that. And so obviously the receipts are out there. So I would like to apologize on behalf of myself for that.
Fine. Honestly, this was like one time where I don't think it was really entirely your fault, because there was some miscommunication, because we were originally going to, it was supposed to be me and this other guy yesterday, and then we had to switch it back to today. And so I think there was a little confusion of whether you were going to still be on the podcast today, because, and then you had the wedding, and so you've been preoccupied. So
I'm in Mexico at my brother's wedding. It's a great excuse to just be off this week. So the fact that you did come for the second half, I think, is bonus points.
Yeah, I agree,
thanks,
too.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, guys. That means I got to take a half of an episode off again at some point at an undecided time right now.
I think I you might have earned a whole episode off.
I drove to Sayulita from Los Angeles, and it was, I would never in a million years recommend anyone to make that drive. It's pretty brutal. Well, it's 30 hours. It's not very scenic. I had to bribe a cop a couple times, and there's a lot of toll roads. Gas is pretty expensive in Mexico. And,
are you serious? You had to bribe a cop?
Yeah, apparently you have to get a permit for your car if you drive far enough south from the border.
Not when you got some little cash on you.
Yeah, exactly. And so we had to like bribe, we had to pay $100 to get out of the ticket the first time and then $50 to get out of the ticket the second time. Oh, and it was like all pretty sketch too. They were always like, it's your lucky day. Like, I'm going to do you this favor. All you have to do is pay me. At first they want like $500 and I was like, I'm not going to give you $500. And he's like, okay, give me $300. I was like, yeah, that's not going to happen either. He's like, okay, $100, you're on your way. And then so we paid him $100. It's just funny. Like they just want money from me.
I wish I had the balls Dean has. If a cop was like, hey, if a Mexican cop said $500, I'd have been like, are you sure you don't want more? Like, please, right. Just let me go.
Dude, and a 20% tip. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the first
one. Do you
have
Yelp? I'll write you a great review.
The first one, we were pulled over on the side of the road negotiating with these police officers who didn't speak any English. So that was pretty bad. The second time, though, we got pulled over and there was like this little kiosk interrogation room that they like made me leave my phone in my car, pulled me in just by myself. And like I talked to a cop for like 45 minutes. In this like roadside interrogation room, and it sounds intimidating, but at the end of the day, like, I don't know, all they want ever is money, and if they get that even a little bit from you, they're just like happy, I guess. But anyways, my point is, I don't recommend driving it. So if you're thinking about driving to Mexico, it's just understand that you might get into some crap.
Yeah, just fly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Dean, have fun. Easton, Mark, Riley. Everyone, thank you so much for helping me out throughout this podcast, for helping both of us out. We will be recording next week, where hopefully we suck a little less.
Nice.
Follow Help by Suck at Dating on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.